other. And every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio. A time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley, happy to be with you again and again and again. It's been such a good time to continue on this road of rediscovering new life in the Church, rediscovering our relationship with Jesus, moving deeper into relationship with Him. That's what the show is all about, pointing out the things, the great things that God is doing in our midst here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. And so grateful that I am together with you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, as we continue on through this journey. Again, I hope that the show has been inspiring to you, been helpful to you. If you do have suggestions of people or events coming up or anything that you would like to see featured on the Rediscover Hour, please do go to archspm.org and search for Rediscover, and when you find our homepage, you'll find a little link that says Suggest a Guest. Please go ahead and click on that and submit your suggestions. That way, we take all of our suggestions seriously, and we are always looking for new things to feature here on the Rediscover Hour. Thanks for listening as we come into the 22nd Sunday of Ordinary Time this weekend. We're moving right along, aren't we? Right through this Ordinary Time, which, again, just as a reminder, is not boring ordinary. It is ordered to God and His mission, which is really, I think, what all our Sunday readings are about this week. We've got Jesus, again, in our gospel lesson. So last week, just as a quick reminder, is when He established Jesus as the rock on which He would build His church. Jesus established Peter. Is that what I said? Peter as the rock on which He would build His church. But then He reveals to His disciples that He was going to suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter takes Jesus aside and begins to rebuke Him, right? Well, Jesus turns and says to Peter, one of the strongest things He's ever recorded as saying, I would say, in the Gospels, "Get behind me, Satan." Satan, the deceiver, right? The tempter. "You are an obstacle to me," He says. "You are not thinking as God does, but as human beings do." Just kind of underscoring for us. So remember, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the Assumption being a prefigurement of our sharing in the divine life. So we've got that. Then last week, we were talking about the queenship of Mary and how we are also then prefigured to reign with Christ and to share in His reign to the world. And this week, I think we're looking at the cost of all that, just reminding us of all the good things that we are promised, but these things don't come easily. You know, Jesus Himself said that narrow is the gate that leads to salvation and redemption, right? And so we need to be very mindful of that, even in our daily lives, how we can, as St. Paul puts it in our second reading for this Sunday, to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, our spiritual worship, and not conforming ourselves to this age, but rather being transformed by the renewal of our minds. And why is that? So that we may discern the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect. It really does boil down to if we can discern what the will of God is, if we can know that will, and if we can then do that will, do the will of the loving Father. Even when it seems mysterious, even when it seems impossible, and even when it seems like it's going to lead to our own suffering. Jesus Himself, going back to the gospel lesson, you know, he says that we all, if we're going to come after Him, we have to deny ourselves, we have to take up our cross and follow Him. That's what we have to do. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for Jesus' sake will find it. And he gives one of these great lines too. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can one give in exchange for his life? Just again, it kind of pales in comparison when we really sit down and think about it. The things that we are promised, eternal life, face to face with God in the perfection of all that is, as we are united with him in his divine nature, and the promise to reign with him, to sit with him, sit with Jesus as his adopted brothers and sisters, again united in spirit and in nature to the Father, and sharing in that well, I don't know what to call it except for bliss or blessedness of living in unity with the Father. And yet, the things that this world offers, right, are so tempting. And it seems like, yep, if I only had that, if I could just get there, then that's what I could do. But that's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying, yep, don't think as human beings do. Set your sights on the things that are above. Fix your eyes on the author of our faith, on the perfecter of our faith, and live life in that way, to always, in every situation, from the most joyful and celebratory to the most challenging and sorrowful and painful, fix our eyes on Jesus, knowing that he will always come and redeem us, save us, and invite us into that eternal life with him. All right, we've got coming up on the show today, we've got Roger Vasco, who's the founder and president of St. Joseph Business Guild. We're going to be talking with him a little bit about that. A little bit later on, Brian Regatz is with us, the new president of the Catholic School Center of Excellence. He's going to tell us about everything going on with Cisco. And then finally, Katesy and Ben from Katesy and Ben Photography are going to talk to us a little bit about what wedding photography actually, what kind of a role that plays in living out of Catholic faith. So as we enter into that, as always, let's pause here at the top of the show, offering the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So please pray with me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Joining me now is Roger Vasco, who's the founder and president of the St. Joseph Business Guild. He was a Catholic Spirit Leading with Faith Award winner back in 2004. He's married to his beautiful wife, Lynn, and they have been for 35 years. They have 4 adult children, 8 grandchildren, and one of their twin daughters is now Sister Marie Carmen with the Carmelite Sisters in the Most Sacred Heart of Los Angeles. Roger, welcome to the program.
Hi. Hi. Glad to be here.
Great to have you with us. Thank you for joining us. So, for those who may not know, why don't you tell us, what is St. Joseph's Business Guild?
Well, first of all, a guild is an association of workers for collaborative aid and self-help inspired by spiritual values. And our guild is composed of Catholic men and women of all age groups and all work types in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis.
Okay, very good. And how did it come about? How did you get this idea to found it?
Well, as my kids graduated from college, I started to see them and their friends and our nieces and nephews struggle financially. And they were delaying getting married and delaying having kids. They were trying to pay back their school loans. That in most cases, people of my generation never really had. And each day I would say a prayer for families, and part of the prayer goes, grant to this local church the many graces we need to foster, strengthen, and support faith-filled holy marriages and holy families. And the support kind of hit me, and for a couple of months it was kind of rattling around in my mind, and I really didn't know what that meant. And then one morning when I was saying my prayers, it hit me like a ton of bricks, and it was real clear what I needed to do. And this same thing has happened to me several other times in my life. Once when it was time to sell our business, and so it was pretty clear what I had to do. So we kicked off the guild at the men's conference in 2019. So we're a little over a year old.
Yeah, nice. And as you said, it was pretty clear to you what you had to do. So what did you do? Tell us the story of how it then started to come together.
Well, I'm from St. Peter in North St. Paul Parish.
Sure. And yep.
I found a few members there, friends that I knew that agreed with the mission, and talked them into being board members, and that's kind of how we got started. The mission of the Guild is to support Catholic families by connecting Catholic business owners to workers and customers. Mm. And we want to direct our business and our best jobs to the faithful Catholics who support our parishes and schools.
Sure, that's great.
And that's kind of how it got kicked off, I guess.
Okay, all right. What kind of response have you seen since founding it a little over a year ago?
We're over 220 members right now.
Wow, okay.
And people join for different reasons. A lot of these early adopters, they're joining because they're looking for Catholic community and they're looking for Catholics to network with. I've even had some tell me that they really don't care if they get any more business or not. They just want to meet other Catholics and other Catholic business owners, which kind of surprised me a little bit at first, but now it makes a lot of sense.
Makes sense. I know that in my own life, there have been times when I need something done, or I need to, you know, employ the services of another, and it does run through my head from time to time. You know, well, it'd be really nice if I had an opportunity to connect with a Catholic who is doing this, and that's what the website's all about, or that's at least part of it, right?
That's part of it. Yeah, and the other part is trying to connect Catholic businesses with workers, because there's no way currently in the Archdiocese for a worker to find a Catholic business. I mean, they might know of a few, and they could listen to Relevant Radio and try to find out who's advertising there, but it's really hard to find a list. And the same with your business owner. It's really hard to find Catholic workers to get them to apply for your company.
Mm-hmm.
Same with parishes. And so we're going to try to take care of that problem and connect people. Mm-hmm. And we support our members in three ways. First, we give workers the networking tools and connections to get the best jobs. And then second, we alert entrepreneurs of business opportunities and provide classes and networking to help them get started. And then third, we give business owners and entrepreneurs a cost-free method of marketing to promote their business using our online business directory.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
So when you... On the website, the business directory is on the public side of the directory, and most of our website is private for members only.
Gotcha. Okay. And what is that website? We should mention that, of course.
That's sjbusinessguild.com.
Okay. Very good. Yeah, I'm there now, actually, and I'm looking it over. It's a very artfully done, good way of looking over the website and everything. Can you tell me a little bit about? I'm intrigued by what you said about you have some trainings on how people can network. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, we have different ways to network. We have 4 dinner meetings per year. And they have mass, or they have adoration and benediction, speed networking, member spotlights, a dinner, show program, and a speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a morning of recollection to start Lent with networking at the end. We have 6 networking meetings at breweries or other locations throughout the year. And then we have 1 Zoom networking meeting per month.
Okay.
And then we have 2 Zoom business roundtables per year. The other way to network would be to use one of the tools that we have on our website, and that's the Guild Member Database. So as a member, you have access to all the other members of all member types, and so you can get their name, their email address, the business they own or the company they work for, their job title, and their parish. And then you could network that way.
Mm-hmm.
Say you're looking for a job, you could contact the owner of a company directly, and you know it's going to be a Catholic company, and he knows when you're in the Guild that you're a Catholic worker.
Yeah, very good. Tell us a little bit about the business directory on the website as well. That's in the public side of the website, correct?
Yeah, it's on the public side, and so are business owners and entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs, another class. When you join, your membership dues include an ad in the directory, and our directory was custom written by one of our members, and so it, eventually, as we grow, it'll be searchable. We'll have a lot of features on there. So there's tags. You know, there's different tags for businesses depending on their what areas they're in. So you could search for like insurance or financial companies or things like that. And so we're going to put together a network of parishes. So we're going to attempt to sign up every parish in the Archdiocese. And after we have once we have the parishes, all the parishes signed up, this would be like having an ad in all the business, in all the parish bulletins. So an ad in the parish bulletin, one of those little squares you see on the back, that's $500 per year.
Mm-hmm.
And so this database, a year or two from now, is going to be. It's going to be a very effective way to advertise for our members, because an entrepreneur only pays $50 per year for dues, and a business member pays $50 up to $200 depending on their gross revenue.
Yeah.
So it'll be a very effective way to advertise, and it'll be a very effective way to start a business.
Yeah, still not a bad way of, and not much in terms of financial investment in order to get into the business directory and starting a business, as you say. What do you see as speaking on a more philosophical level? What are some of the benefits to Catholics patronizing Catholic owned businesses?
The benefits. Well, you're benefiting Catholics who are going to support our parishes and schools. So in the end, the parish will receive a financial benefit. You also have a better chance of receiving how would I put this? Services and products that maybe are more guaranteed, or you can trust that they're going to be what they say they are.
Mm-hmm.
And just as you support a Catholic business, you're supporting the Catholics. You're really supporting all the Catholics in the Archdiocese, because we're all so connected.
Mm-hmm. It's a great way of staying connected, as you said, I think, too, and especially, again, during this time of pandemic, which is a frequent theme on this show, is that it's a way of staying connected even in the midst, because our needs for various services and goods that are represented here on the St. Joseph Business Guild website, yeah, we still need these things, and that's something that's it's right there. It's right at the click of a button. You can find all sorts of businesses that might be able to suit your needs that way too, and maybe forge a few new friendships as well. So, who can register to be a member here on the St. Joseph Business Guild?
So, to be a member, you people apply for membership and must be approved, and applicants must check off that they agree with the Guild Statement of Faith, which is taken from the Vatican's website. And you have to agree to a statement of values, about work, and they were taken from the Catechism of the Catholic Church.
Great.
And so you have to be a practicing Catholic to be a member. By practicing, I guess the definition would be someone that attends Mass every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, a lot of our members come from referrals from existing members. In the future, we might have to tighten this down a little bit to make sure that members truly are practicing Catholics, but if they say they are, it's really hard to dispute that, but we're going to make it very clear. We do make it very clear that it's open to practicing Catholics.
Absolutely, and that's a great thing, in that you can hopefully at least have a modicum of peace that you're actually dealing with somebody who is striving in their faith to deepen their relationship with the Lord and to live a virtuous life. So that's a promise you don't always get from other business services and business directories. So that's a great thing. So just a couple minutes remaining here, Roger, and just wanted to ask you where listeners should go to learn more, to access the business directory, and then maybe if they're interested in actually joining, is all that available on your website?
Yeah, everything is available on the website. It's sjbusinessguild.com. They could email me with questions if they want. My email address is roger@sjbusinessguild.com. We do have Zoom meetings for prospective members, and it's the same type of a meeting that we have for new members. So when a member signs up, they generally will attend either a Zoom meeting or in-person meeting where I explain all the tools of the website. We have five different tools on the website. One of the tools we haven't talked about is mentors. We have mentors that help people in all different ways. So I go over all the tools to make sure everybody knows how to use the tools and what we have to offer. And so that's what prospective members could see before they would even join.
Wonderful. Well, again, just a cursory glance that I'm giving right now to your website looks like it's well laid out and there's many resources available there. Roger, it sounds like a great endeavor. I pray that it continues to grow over the coming years. And thank you for being on the Rediscover Hour. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, check it out. It's sjbusinessguild.com. And I note that if I went to the business directory and I went to photography on the business directory, well, there's Katie and Ben who are going to be our guests a little bit later on in the program. So they're on there, as well as many other services that you might be in need or in want of. Great place to check out for next time you're searching for something like that. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, we've got Brian Regetz with us, who's the new president of the Catholic Schools Center of Excellence. He's going to get us up to date with what Cisco's considering in returning to school. Stay with us.
Rediscover.
Have you ever thought about a new career? Step forward. Consider a sales career at Catholic United Financial. Impact people and live your faith with a sales career at Catholic United.
I realized working at Catholic United was the right career for me. About a year into it, I went to a wake for someone who had been a member of our parish volunteer team and very active. You know, I was nervous to go and got there, introduced myself to his kids and family and knew I was going to be helping them with the death claim. And his spouse was there and she was so happy to see me. She was so thankful that I took time out of the day to come and do this. That was the big moment for me.
Impact people and live your faith with a sales career at Catholic United. Apply now at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/careers and check out our referral bonus. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey. We are there for life. Join us.
I'm living a long, long life. And I will not let you go. Taking a long, long time to get here. It could be a long time.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Joining me now is Brian Regetz, who's the president of Cisco, the Catholic Schools Center of Excellence. He oversees Cisco's operation and mission to enhance excellence, enrollment, and development in our schools. He has nearly 20 years of experience in Catholic education, taught middle school history and religion for 5 years at Nativity of Our Lord, has been a Catholic school principal for the last 13 years, most recently at St. Odelia in Shoreview. Brian, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Great to have you with us. And I know that you have at least a little bit of a connection to our producer, Cami Berthume, who is a St. Odelia student. I think some of her younger siblings were there when you were there at the school, yeah?
Yes, you know, she sent an email over to me to schedule this interview with you. We had that great connection, and I think she was a little amazed at how much I remembered about her siblings, and even her mom would still come to church even when her siblings graduated. I particularly remember their dog named Buddy, who would make appearances from time to time after school during pickup. It was just fun to go down a little memory lane with her.
Man, that personal touch, that's very important to, especially to young kids who are developing. And so wonderful. Well, why don't you, we've had Gail Dorn on the program a number of times telling us about Cisco and everything, but you know what? I got to have you give a shot at it since you're the new president here. You're going to have to tell us, what is Cisco, Brian?
Yeah, the CSCO, Catholic School Center of Excellence, you know, it is an amazing organization that really has a laser focus on two things, enhancing excellence and increasing enrollment in all of our schools. And we work in collaboration with the Archdiocese, and we are work very well with them to try and find ways that we can do both of those things for all 79 Catholic schools. You know, Gail likes to use a phrase, we're just trying to add fuel to the tank. And resources are always tight. And if we can try and provide some opportunities for teachers and principals for professional development, we can provide some financial resources so they can think outside the box and determine what they think they need to increase excellence and enrollment. Well, we're all in. And one thing I love about CSCO, and when I was a principal, I was all in on CSCO with some of their initiatives, is, you know, we are all different as Catholic schools, and our communities are our identities. And, you know, we always say it's a one-size-fits-one.
Yeah, right.
That, you know, if you've seen one Catholic school, you've seen one Catholic school. Mm-hmm. We are all different, and that's it's a wonderful blessing in our archdiocese that allows for that. And, you know, in the end, we're trying to help them in any way we can, because we do believe that if you increase excellence, you'll increase enrollment. Mm-hmm. And with some of the initiatives we have coming out right now, we think that's going to be happening in the fall as well.
Yeah. Well, now you mentioned principals, and you yourself have served as a Catholic school principal. I can't imagine personally what some of these principals are facing in the wake. Well, it's not even the wake of, we're still in the midst of the pandemic. And as we're moving into this back to school time, which, as far as we know, still going to be on task, you know, in-person learning going on at our Catholic schools. What setbacks have principals encountered because of COVID? If you can answer that in the next 12 minutes.
Yeah. Setbacks is one word for it, but it's also opportunities, but I think in the end, when COVID happened, and within a number of days, the concept of changing the way that you teach and transitioning to distance learning, that was hard. And, you know, the governor, when they made the decision to do that, gave every school, 8 days to plan. But to pivot in 8 days and to have teachers that have been used to one type of instruction for 20 plus years change, to do it over a screen had immense challenges. It really allowed some of our principals to show that they weren't just managers, but true leaders. And, I felt for our teachers, because, every school has teachers that are just wonderful that can look at a child's face and tell if he or she understands what they just taught them. Mm-hmm. And that is much harder to do over a screen. But the one thing that we do know is that our principals are resilient. They're up for the challenge, and they are always thinking about what's in the best interest of their kids. And so when they research new programs, research new ways to integrate technology and to continue to bring an excellent education, I think that as we've seen more and more people come and tour the Catholic schools, it's not just because of the decision that many of them have made to be open. It's because of the positivity and the accolades that they've been getting for how they did pivot in distance learning, and how we still manage those connections and those relationships. And I have a son as well, and he was in first grade last year, and I couldn't have been more proud of his teacher for how she maintained connections with him, even while being at home, from her home as well as our home in distance learning. Now, if you fast forward to the present, there's an immense challenge, because what has become the question of what is the plan? And
right.
And how are you going to deliver? And everybody has an opinion on that. And that is hard. you know, I talked to a principal the other day, and I just felt so bad for her, because she says, no matter what we do, half the people are going to be upset. And of course, we love to try and please everybody, but we can't. And so the message that we continue to give is, you know, do your research, look at the best, most accurate information out there that you have for safety and well-being of staff and students, and then let the decision be guided with your head as well as your heart. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you often never go wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, excellent. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour program of the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, on Relevant Radio 1330 WLOL, Minneapolis, St. Paul. My guest is Brian Regetz, the president of CSCO, the Catholic School Center of Excellence. And we are grateful, as you're telling us about some of the wonderful ways that you have seen individuals, faculty, teachers, principals, administration respond in the midst of a quickly changing world here when it comes to education. So as you're looking at this new challenge of the reopening of schools here, and as kids are starting to go back to school and things like that, what any new initiatives that CSCO has been particularly involved in to help with principals, help with teachers, and help with parents, perhaps even in getting their kids the education that they need?
Yeah, well, you know, I think there's a lot of new opportunities that are out there. And one thing that we have recognized is something that is part of what Catholic schools and really the foundation of teaching the whole child. And that is academically, spiritually, but also emotionally. And what CSCO is going to be spending some time focusing on is how we can assist all of the communities with mental wellness and support. So we have this new initiative that we just pushed out and introduced to our principals at the end of July, and it's called Peace of Mind. Mm-hmm. And we've collaborated with some local counseling agencies that are going to be providing not only our principals support to get them through what they need to get through, but also providing our teachers with live Zooms and one-on-one conversations about some anxieties and things they may be feeling, as well as our parents. You know, as I said before, I would consider myself a professional educator. I've been in education for 20 years.
Sure.
And there's times when I look at my son, who's 7, and I don't know what to say. I don't know how to navigate through certain aspects of this pandemic, obviously, because we've never gone through this before as adults. And there's times that as parents, you know, one of the greatest parts about our community is that we are a community and we can solve problems together. We can, it says, you know, they say it takes a village to raise a child, and our communities are that village for each other. But we also don't need to do it by ourselves and try and research things alone. Let's get some experts in here that can help tell us what the best ways to talk to children, whether it's about COVID or it's about anxiety for coming back, or a friend or a grandparent that may have be directly impacted with COVID. Everything that, as well as to the situation that we're going through with social unrest in the area. These are great topics to talk to children about, and there's the right way to do it. And so with the Peace of Mind initiative is really a way that we can focus on how we can help the hearts as well as the minds of our school leaders, of our teachers, as well as our parents, so we can all come back to the table on the same page. And when there's situations that come up, we'll know how to act appropriately to help our children be more successful, not just in school, but in life as well.
Yeah, I think that's what it boils down to, right, is that this education is, you were saying, teach to the whole child, but education is really, it was originally designed for not just so that these kids are trained up in a certain profession that they can be a productive member of society, but it was actually to help develop the person, right? And it sounds like some of these initiatives that we are spearheading here are right along those lines, that are really helping the kids to deal with a situation that we've never encountered before. Any any things that are coming to mind, Brian, if I were to ask you specifically pieces of advice, you would say, my wife is an educator in a Catholic school. And what would you say to those who might be a little, apprehensive at the start of this new school year, not just about COVID, but also about all the ramifications and effects. So, you know, how are these children being formed at home and that sort of thing? Any words of advice or comfort or consolation or anything like that you might offer to educators as we're heading back into the school year?
Yeah, a couple of thoughts that come to mind when you say that. The first is wherever you are, it's okay to be where you are. It's okay to have to be apprehensive and to have fear, even to have anxiety. The most important part is, what are you going to do with it next? Again, as a father of a student that's going to be returning in the fall, I've seen my school's plan and it's well thought out. But are there parts of it that I don't like? Yes. But when I think about it, is it the plan that I don't like, or is it the fact that it's just not normal? And I think it's the latter. What do I want different? I want it to be normal. And that's not the situation. So the first advice I'll give to families is to be okay with where you're at and seek out what you need to feel more comfortable. And that could be a phone call. That could be to colleagues or to family members, or it could be a phone call to a teacher or the principal. But I would try to understand what is it that is upsetting you. And there are things that the principal is not going to be able to answer because there are some still unknowns out there. But I do know that all 79 Catholic school principals have a true desire to do what is right and to do what is moral and to make the right decisions in the best interest of kids. But, you know, relationships got us through distance learning, and relationships will get us through whatever is coming ahead. You know, I've always said that when parents and educators work together, kids are successful 100% of the time. If they truly have honest dialogue with each other, the kids will be successful, because when adults in children's lives looking out for the child and understanding and respecting perspectives and viewpoints, we just gain more awareness of the situation. And when we have more awareness, we can take better action. Mm-hmm. When it comes to dealing with kids, I think that we tend to overthink it a bit, of trying to find the perfect response. Mm-hmm. I would ask questions, and I would keep asking questions of the children of where are they really at, and not trying to be too analytical, but just try to understand, where is their fear coming from? And it could be something that they may have heard on the news or flipping through the channels or overheard parents talking about it. That's one thing that I think we should all be a little cognizant of, is what are we saying when kids are around? Because they're sponges and they soak up everything we say. And they can pick up, not just on our words, but on our tone and our own feelings about it. But if you ask questions, you might have a better understanding of where your child is at. And if I can just tell a quick story, I was on a walk with my son and our dog my wife, and we were walking and we saw somebody. This is the first time that we saw somebody, this is probably in April or May, I guess, but somebody was driving with a mask on. And my son said, "Dad, what's happening?" Now, that's a loaded question, and trying to get that to a seven-year-old's perspective. And I said, "Well, why do you think," instead of trying to answer it, I said, "Why do you think that person's wearing a mask?" And he gave me some answers, and we talked about that this individual wanted to be extra precautious and has chosen to be extra safe in that situation. That was that person's right and responsibility to do what he or she desired at that moment. And so he just looked at me and he said, "Well, I choose to be brave and scared at the same time.
There you go.
And I thought it was just a wonderful response that he, by asking a loaded question, what's happening, he knew that somebody looked that looked a little different because of the mask on. That was not the norm at the time. And he brought it down to his level saying, hey, I'm choosing to be brave, but also be scared. And the more we can ask and talk to kids, and when they ask questions like that, ask them a question back and see where they're at. And we followed up a little bit later on in the evening while we were having dinner. And again, you know, that fear of how can I respond to this the best way possible, it kind of went away once I just started asking him to determine what is really bothering him. And to him, it was seeing something he's never seen before and sure. trying to explain that to a way that he could understand it.
Well, and I think that's just foundationally important, really for people of all ages, but especially with kids, is to ask the questions, to enter into conversation and see where they're coming from. Brian, I'm afraid we're out of time, but I did want to thank you so much for your work with Cisco, and be assured of our prayers as you continue on in this important position. And thanks for joining us on the Rediscover Hour.
It's my pleasure. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care. The Cisco website, if you want to go there and check them out, is cscoe-mn.org. And we will be right back after this coming break with Katesy and Ben Photography. We're going to talk with them a little bit about wedding photography in pandemic and the role of the arts. Stay with us. Rediscover.
This is how we sometimes look at confession. Oh, I gotta go and I gotta get rid of my sin, because if I don't, then I'm gonna be in trouble.
In Central Texas, Monty, welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Marcel.
I began to wonder for myself, what if I embraced the sacrament of penance in the same way I do all the other wonderful things that the Holy Mother Church offers us? And so I began to do that, and it totally transformed confession for me. And I just really love to go to confession. Now, a friend of mine gave me another tip. He said, you know, when you're sitting there and you have that anxiety and that fear about walking through that door, pray to your Holy Mother and ask her to go with you. And just like she leads us to her son, she'll take us in there and it'll be okay. And like you guys have said, that coming out of that room, that there's no feeling like that, clean and ready to receive the Holy Eucharist. It's just the greatest thing on earth.
Maybe you should be the next guest on the show, because that was beautiful.
Experts with insight on our Catholic faith.
Morning Air, 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Relevant Radio.
Who is this King of Glory? We honor and praise.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Cami Berthume, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley, and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Joining me now are Katesy and Ben of Katesy and Ben Photography. Katesy and Ben are a Catholic wife and husband photography team based here in the Twin Cities. They have a little toddler named Lucas Benedict, who they say brings so much joy. And they met through the Catholic Studies program at the University of St. Thomas when they studied abroad in Rome their junior year. And full disclosure, Ben and I go back to our working together at the Cathedral of St. Paul. Great to have you in the program. Welcome, Katesy and Ben.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so, thanks, Patrick. This is great.
Yeah, very, very excited to have you on the program. So I gotta start by asking, give us some background here. How did you get started with wedding photography?
Yeah, I'll start, because really photography was my passion. I was always the girl with the camera, you know, in high school friend groups, and quickly that turned into taking senior pictures for my friends or going to conferences and doing some event photography with them. And quickly turned into, wow, we like your pictures. Would you take my engagement pictures? Would you take my wedding pictures? And we have just been so honored that that has been a great way that we get to, you know, use the gift that God's given us to reflect beauty back to other people and to serve them in their vocation. And once Ben and I met through our study abroad program, when we were in Rome, there was a lot of the parents that would add me on Facebook. They said their kids weren't taking enough pictures, so they wanted to get right to the source, right to the photographer, and see their kids living life in Rome. And eventually, when Ben was a seminarian at the time, and he discerned out later, you know, as our friendship got closer, as our relationship got closer, I like to say he got little work promotions in the photography business as our relationship progressed. So once we started dating, he would carry my bags. He would pick up a camera, found out he had a great eye for capturing very beautiful moments. And then eventually, once we were engaged and dating, he joined me really in this business. So yeah, it's been a great journey getting here, and we're excited to be able to do this.
Ben, let me ask you, were you ever interested in photography at all before you started dating and eventually married Katie?
Yeah, just a little bit. When I was in high school, my dad had a little DSLR, and I took some landscape photos. I wasn't necessarily very comfortable in front of people and kind of, directing people into posing at the time. So I did some of that. I'd edited just a little bit, but I never really saw it as something I'd be doing in the future. So it was really interesting when we started dating. It really was. I was her plus one at all these weddings she was photographing. So I was just with her all day carrying her bags. And then one day at one of our friends' weddings, I was like, well, you have this extra camera. I have no idea how to set it up. But would you mind if I tried taking a couple photos? She was like, sure. And I just happened to get this really nice photo of the groom handing the bouquet back to the bride. And she saw that and she was like, can you keep taking photos? And I was like, sure.
Nice. Very good. So now I see in the notes that you sent ahead of time that really you're from the very beginning, you wanted to serve especially Catholic couples that were planning sacramental marriages. Tell us a little bit about, Katie, let's start with you. What's the difference between photographing a Catholic wedding versus, a secular wedding or a destination wedding or something like that?
Yeah. With Catholic weddings in general, there's big differences in the wedding itself, the wedding day itself. So, the ceremony taking place within the context of the liturgy, and really couples choosing to get married in the church, not just because it's a venue to them or the backdrop to their pictures, but there's this deeper mindset of the couple that, they're bringing their relationship to the altar. They're petitioning God. They're asking him to be a part of their marriage and their relationship, to bless them, to heal them, to sanctify them, so that, as they go out into the world, it might be private in the sense of, your relationship, but it's also very public. It's communal, and it really is intended to be for others, and that allows a couple to really go off and be Christ to other people and give glory to God in their vocation. And so just the whole way that a couple approaches planning for their mass, a lot of couples really prioritize what the mass is going to be, how the music is going to be, what the flowers in the church are going to be, so that it lifts people's eyes up to God and gives glory to him in the sacrament. And we just see a lot of that in the planning, but then also in a lot of couples who are so intentional about planning for their marriage beyond the wedding day. I see that a lot with how we serve our couples is, they see the beauty of the day, they're excited, there's so much joy in that, but sometimes the secular world puts such a fear around what marriage is going to be like at the 7-year itch or once you have kids, and there's so many Catholic couples that really see the beauty, they see the redemption in the suffering, and they're ready to take that on and want to have a wedding day that, understands what sacrifice is through the context of Christ's sacrifice to us on the cross. That's where I'll leave that.
Yeah, well, but I want to ask you a follow-up, too, because you'd mentioned even from the very outset, you talked about capturing beauty, which we've talked about before on the program as one of the powerful transcendental evangelists right now is really appealing with beauty, appealing to people for God with beauty. So what, if you can share maybe just one trick of the trade, Katie, about what do you look for in order to try to capture that on well, I would say on film, but you know what I mean, in a photograph?
I think, especially in a Catholic wedding, it's really understanding a lot of the significance of the symbolism is a great way to capture that beauty. When we were looking for our own wedding photographer, we knew outside they would capture great pictures, but when it came inside into the church, we really wanted somebody who who would know what the elevation of the Eucharist means and the symbolism behind that, because, you know, it isn't just a series of activities within the Mass that are taking place, but there's deep spiritual significance to them. And when you have even a little bit of that backstory and understanding, that itself brings out so much beauty of, you know, why is the couple going to the side to hand a bouquet of flowers to the statue of Mary? And if you understand the more deeper spiritual significance of this offering to Mary, it kind of elevates it in and of itself. And if you just see the joy and emotion that couples feel on their wedding day, that helps tell the story too.
Absolutely. Right. So Ben, I'm going to ask you to speak a little more philosophically here as well. So on a broader spectrum, what do you see as the importance of the role of the arts in the Catholic faith?
Yeah. So kind of, as you mentioned, beauty, you know, the true, the good and the beautiful, beauty is meant to, it's an image of God in the world. When you see something beautiful, something that's really beautiful, and not just, you know, I like this, you might not like it, but when you see something, it draws you to something else. It draws you out of yourself, and points you to, ultimately, to God who created that. So, you know, photography and weddings, all we're trying to do is provide something that will continue to nourish that relationship between the couple, you know, that something they can look at and that they can see not only, you know, the beautiful day, the beautiful flowers, the beautiful dress, but also see the beauty of marriage, you know, captured especially at Catholic Mass, you know, within the Mass, because as I'm sure you've talked about before, the married life, the family life, is meant to be an image of the Trinity, and the Mass is the wedding supper of the Lamb, you know, so a wedding within the Mass is just so fitting. And so doing our best to capture, you know, what a couple is doing on their wedding day is, you know, even a more fitting image of the wedding supper of the Lamb at Mass. So it's just, it's beauty on beauty on beauty.
Yeah, I can see how it compounds over on itself. And I think it's wonderful that you two have taken it upon yourselves with this deep philosophical and theological understanding of what's going on in the context of the nuptial Mass, about how you're trying to capture that. And I'm just betting there might be some future grooms or brides or mothers of grooms or brides who are out there listening and would want to know, how can I find out more about Casey and Ben? Casey, how about it? Where can they find information on you?
Yeah, the best place to go would be our website, kateseandben.com. Katesie is Katie with a Z in it, so KATZIE and Ben, BEN.com. You can follow us on Instagram. We have a Facebook page, too. And we like to obviously share the pictures that we have taken from all these different great events. But, you know, we really have a heart for sharing more support and encouragement for different ways you can incorporate, you know, blessing a crucifix at your Mass, or we've seen mothers sew scapulars into their daughter's wedding dress, and just think a little bit more about those beautiful, subtle details that you plan to incorporate into your wedding. But then also some tips for growing in prayer together as a couple in your marriage.
Wonderful. Well, and I know you do portraits as well, and there's all sorts of things that we could and probably should have gotten into, but I'm afraid we're out of time. But Casey and Ben, thank you so much for the work that you do. Thank you for joining us on the Rediscover Hour. God bless you for all that's to come.
Thank you. Nice to hear from you, too.
Yeah.
God bless you. Thank you for inviting us. This was such an honor.
Absolutely. Well, great to have you with us. All right. So again, that's katzieandben.com, K-A-T-Z-I-E and Ben, B-E-N.com. Go there and check out all that they have to offer with Katzie and Ben Photography. We're going to take our final break when we come back. As always, Paul and I have some things to share with you about upcoming events and just a few more, you know, those regulation type things for going to Mass. So we'll have that right after this. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Have you ever thought about a new career? Or know someone who wants to make a change? Step forward. Make the transition. Consider a sales career at Catholic United Financial. We are on a mission to grow the financial security of Catholics in your community.
I was actually an elementary school teacher for 4 years. I taught in Catholic schools, and I was a softball and volleyball coach. One of the great benefits to working at Catholic United is the ability to create your own schedule. When you're a young mom and a young parent, this has been a blessing because I can take the time off when I need to watch my daughter and make my own schedule and work with my husband to take care of our child, and it's been really great.
Impact people and live your faith with a sales career at Catholic United. Apply now at catholicunitedfinancial.org/sales career and check out our referral bonus. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey. We are there for life. Join us.
You are stillness. You are quiet. You are comfort.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Sunday obligation to attend Mass, still dispensed. But if you're planning on attending Mass, bring your mask. And if you're not a fan of the mask, check out archspm.org/COVID-19. And that'll take you to an up-to-date list of outdoor and parking lot masses being offered around the Archdiocese, as well as masses online and on TV.
And don't forget that you can hear daily Mass and devotions here on Relevant Radio. Join us Monday through Friday for daily Mass at noon, Divine Mercy Chapel at 3 p.m. with Drew Mariani, Sunday Mass at 9 a.m. and noon.
Prayer during a pandemic can keep us anchored to our Lord, our Lady, and our Church. In fact, it does that. So we need to continue praying every day. But you can also take a moment to pray each time a COVID-19 anointing corps priest is dispatched to give last rites. What an honor. Text archspm-anointing to 55321. For more information for online sign-up, you can visit archspm.org/COVID-19.
The tragic death of George Floyd has ignited a public conversation about ongoing racial inequity and injustice in America. How can the Church uphold the dignity of all human persons and foster the common good during these contentious times? Join the Minnesota Catholic Conference for a webinar with featured speaker Bishop Shelton Faber and other panelists. Wednesday, September 9th, the Feast of St. Peter Claver, 10 a.m. to noon. For the required registration and more information, go to archspm.org/events.
Let me just jump in and say that that sounds like a fabulous webinar. I think that worth the time. So again, it's Wednesday, September 9th, the Feast of St. Peter Claver, 10 a.m. to noon, sponsored by the Minnesota Catholic Conference, which is the public policy voice of the Minnesota bishops. So that's what's going on there. And of course, be sure to, go to archspm.org/events for more information on that and other upcoming events around the Archdiocese. And remember, you can still sign up to receive local evangelization updates. All you got to do is go to archspm.org/evangelization and enter your email address.
That's easy enough.
Yeah, that's pretty straightforward, simple enough. Right. Very good. Well, I thank all my guests. I thank you for listening. And I guess we want to talk a little bit about what's coming up on the show next time. Well,
that would be a good idea.
That probably would be a good idea. You know, we've had these things called these Great Catholic Parishes segments. Now, I want to just be on record as saying, this is not saying that these are the only great Catholic parishes. What we're trying to do is highlight some of the things that are going on specifically within parishes that other parishes might want to emulate. They're inspired by it. So Jill Fink from St. Odelia in Shoreview is going to be with us to talk about RCIA initiatives for St. Odelia. There, it's the fall comes around. That's coming up next time on the Rediscover Hours. We kick off Great Catholic Parishes. Thanks for listening, folks. Thanks for being with us. And as always, go to church or stay at home, your choice, and ultimately be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday afternoon at 12:30, and Sunday afternoon at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.